And we're live, Off-Road Garage Podcast. I'm Jason, with me as always, my good friend Jim.
Good evening, how's everybody doing?
With us tonight, David Roberts.
How's it going?
So, before we get into everything that you do, we're going to recap a little bit of our Drummond Island, not driving in a Jeep with background noise.
Right, it was a great idea. I just think the theory fell off in execution.
Yes, but David here is going to key into that because you are a trail guide for the summer for Jeep Jamboree. Yep. So I thought it was a great event.
I did too. You know, having put on events in the past, run events, I know how difficult it is to like wrangle cats. They did a very good job keeping everybody on schedule. Everybody got fed. I mean, the bag lunches were very good. The sandwiches were killer. But then the next day we had a hot lunch and it was on time. The trail guys got us there on time. I kind of got scolded by our trail guy because I figured out how to hack their frequency on their special radios, you know. But listening to them, even when they got like done too soon, they were always on top of like, hey, where's the next group at? Can we go there? Everything was super smooth. We never knew we were lost or out of options if you didn't have that frequency on your radio.
Right.
So
big shout out to Midland Radio.
Yeah, big shout out to Midland for letting us do that.
Gave us the inside.
Actually got talked to you by one of the trail guys. You do not listen to our family. I'm like, oh, no, ma'am. I stopped that a long time ago.
So now you know, David, we're going to have to keep it on the down low.
Honestly, all you got to do is push scan and listen for talking.
It wasn't way too easy.
It wasn't like it was NSA stuff. But, I mean, I had a great run. We talked about in the ride home, they did a really good job making everybody feel welcome.
Yeah.
I've been wheeling like 20 years now.
Yeah.
All across Michigan. We've done Moab. There was a guy there in a stock Liberty, like bone stock Liberty. They treated him like a guy in tons and 40s, like made sure he had a good time. Obviously, there were some difficulties with his application of said vehicle in the trails, but
yeah,
everybody was talking to him. Everybody was cool with him. So I think, you know, there's people that come from out of state. We had Virginia represented. Shout out to Scooter.
New Jersey.
Yeah. It was awesome. I mean, I love Drummond. It's a great place to be. And then being up there in the snow was even better.
Yeah.
You know, it's super beautiful. So I wish there was a little bit. We talked to Mike Olmsted, who runs it.
Yeah.
Told him, I was like, hey, dude, next year I'll come up on Wednesday so I can break the trail. Because that's what I came up for, the chaos, like the deep snow and the trees down. And by the time we got there, it was already taken care of.
I'm sure everyone's by now seen your video blasting through one of the trails.
They said you have to keep momentum up, so I bounced it.
You gave it all the momentum.
37s, 513s, UConn gear and actual lockers, let it have.
Used it to your advantage.
Yeah.
So. Better eat.
Well, I mean, the problem is, though, is nobody got Sean's video. Because Sean let the supercharger speak and did the same thing.
I know.
There's not a video anywhere.
I feel bad. I should have got out and totally got a video of Sean, because that supercharged, it just sounds awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, it's got power to spare. Wheel speed is not an issue. Chrome motor, RCB in front, lockers. He's good to go.
Absolutely.
But the couple of rigs in front of us had made like a nice shelf. And as soon as you got to a certain point, you just stopped. So I was like, I'm just going to go right and put my tire on the shelf. And that was the plan. And I might have got a little slap happy on the execution, but it's what it is. We got through it.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely got through it. It was like awesome ride.
I think one of the coolest parts, at least for me, was since we are the Off-Road Garage Podcast.
We had to do a little garaging.
We got to do some garaging and show that we're not just about talking about it. We can be about it.
Yeah, we got in there.
Yeah.
Ozzy put on a high lift jack clinic.
Yeah. Ozzy came running up to the front and wanted to help. And by the time he got up there, the wheel was off. The thing was jacked up. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, I don't know if they're not used to having as prepared people on the trails we were.
We were the Off-Road Garage Podcast showing up.
For sure.
Throwing down with high lifts and airbags and chains and, yeah.
CO2 tanks. Yeah, everything we needed was there.
Oh, yeah, in a matter of seconds. Yeah. We were on it.
Came prepared.
I mean, we came prepared because, I mean, I'm used to, you know, wheeling by myself with one of the rigs. So if you go down, it's a wrap.
Yeah, carry everything, be paranoid.
Yeah. So, you know, especially wheeling with Sean. He's been wheeling a long time, too. He builds his own rigs. We kind of usually bring redundant tools, or I know he has X if I have Y.
Yeah, when you build your own rig, you get a lot more paranoid with what you bring. I've got spares of everything and enough fluid to redo my entire drivetrain.
So. Right. See, the
well,
part
I can
about
see
it.
Why, because I was going to wait till later, but let's talk about now. Since you brought it up, David, your rig is a little bit unique.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what makes your rig so unique?
It's a 2000 TJ. It happens to have a 3-liter Mercedes turbo diesel out of an 85 SD, takes a little bit of finagling to make fit and make work. But
doesn't just bolt right up.
I've got probably an extra 30 feet of oil lines and oil coolers and all stuff. So I've got 2.5 gallons worth of, you know, 10W whatever in the back. And
10W heavy.
Yeah, 10W heavy and coolant.
You just go to the truck shop and you use the heavyweight.
Yeah, and pull up in the Jeep and grab 5 gallons worth of heavyweight diesel fleet oil.
You pull up to the pump and everyone's like, what is he doing?
Wrong pump, sir. That's diesel. Yeah, I had an old lady, like one of the first trips out, I had an old lady go, you know that's the diesel pump, right? And I was like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, let me roll a coal out of here.
She'd be like, I don't care. It's my friend's car.
Right.
but you know what? He showed it to us here about a half hour ago. It looks almost factory. I mean, granted, it's a little bigger, but
it fits in there. Yeah, really good.
It's nice because it's one cylinder shorter, so it's a 5-cylinder engine.
Okay.
And the cylinder's a slightly bigger bore, so it's pretty much the same exact size.
Kind of evens back out.
Right, exactly. So it fits really well. It's pretty similar in size in terms of width and everything, so it fit right down between the frame rails. I got a custom aluminum oil pan that's got a notch in the front for the truss and everything. So, I mean, it fits really well. The turbo sits kind of up on the fender well,
right,
almost. So with the arch of the fender wells and the way that the motor's shaped, it's a little top heavy. So everything just shoehorned right in there. So
it looks like your valve coverage is a little bit taller than 4 liters. Is that anything concerning with the hood?
The whole engine is a little bit taller.
Okay.
The bottom of the engine is sitting probably about an inch lower than what the stock engine does in terms of oil pan and all that. But it's also a front sump engine.
Okay.
So where the oil pan usually is vulnerable in front of the transmission, there's really nothing there. So it's just right behind the axle where the front sump is. So it's pretty well protected in terms of if I came off of a rock and slid, you know, axle tube just directly onto the oil pan, yeah, it'd be hit. But it's a little bit more well protected than the 4.0 oil pan.
Or just hangs right in the middle of mine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And it's got that awesome little turbo feeding it, force feeding it.
A little bit of whooshy noise.
Yeah, I like the whooshy noise.
Yeah.
I like the tractor clack when it's sitting there.
Yeah, and then you hear every single valve. And
the whooshy noise.
Well, when he fired up, we all started giggling.
I know. Like, right. Tractor.
I can just picture, though, on the trail. Is it manual or auto?
Manual.
So, I mean, first gear, 4.0, and then just climb in whatever you want. I mean, no problem.
I'm going to ask specifically, when it does load down, it just makes that awesome low end. Yeah. Just tractor jug.
Yeah.
So the weight difference is significantly. So the 4BT is like a boat anchor.
Right, yeah. 4BTs are probably double the weight of a 4.0, but this 3-liter has a cast iron block, but there's a lot of aluminum on it. So it's pretty much the same weight as a 4.0. I think there's only like 10 plus or minus pounds. I don't remember exactly, but it's really close in terms of the weight. So there's a couple of companies, Doomsday Diesel being the big one that makes a AX15 adapter plate. So it was bolt up in that sort of sense.
So it's standard Jeep transmission.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not seeing a downside here, to be honest with you, David.
I'm trying to find the 80s Mercedes.
They're those more seem to common be... than you think.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Guessing they're left for one.
A dozen around in Michigan.
I know what the search is going to be on the Facebook marketplace for Jim Lanter.
Yeah. 83 SMSD.
You're going to be getting the messages. Is this the one?
I don't know, man, because you know you get Tim Ryan sending me hate mail for not putting an LS in it.
I know.
Right.
I know.
Yeah. So the main reason I went with an engine swap in general was my 4.0 just started to have little quirks here and there, and the electronics were.
Did it die out on the side of a cliff?
It didn't die out on the side of a cliff yet, but it definitely had its quirks and more of a preventative thing. I was like, well, before it gets too much worse, I might as well do something. And so I looked into LSs because they're everywhere.
Right.
They're,
right.
Aftermarket is ginormous.
Package deal, LS tons and 40s.
Right. And the only reason I went with this is just different.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, different, and the economy is pretty good. I'm getting like about 19 miles to the gallon right now.
Economic Jeep.
TJ on 35, so
that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
It's not a powerhouse like an LS. I mean, it's not the quickest on the road, but the torque is right where it needs to be off road. So if I'm in second gear in low range and putzing around, it's perfect for trail riding. So yeah.
So how much like custom fab work did you have to do to put that in, or was it relatively like, did you go online for the average guy kind of do it on his own?
It was relatively bolt up.
Okay.
The main issue was all the little things here and there. So wiring to make my gauges work, I just kind of hacked up the engine harness off the 4.0, and there's a magnet on the back of my power steering pulley that wakes up my cam sensor, so I have RPM on my cluster. And so there's just little things like that. But in terms of actually getting the engine in, all I did was order the correct transmission mount and transmission mount plate for that AX15. And I got the adapter plate for the engine, bolted everything up as one big unit, and put the transmission mount in the skid plate in the stock holes, and then lowered the engine where I wanted it and started tacking up engine mounts. So I made my own 2x2x1/4 engine mounts off the engine, and then used 2000, I think, Corvette engine mounts, because they have hydraulic oil in them, so they're a little bit more squishy.
Absorb the vibration.
Yeah, they're just a hydraulic
of the clacking tractor motor.
Right. So then I made a flat plate off the side of the frame rail with a bunch of gusseting, and yeah, it was okay. relatively built up.
Not too crazy. And I was actually, like, I'm kind of blown away. You got all the gauges working and everything.
Right,
to me, that's usually like the, that doesn't work anymore.
The nice thing is it's like three wires to get the whole engine started. So technically, if I'm stuck on the side of the road, if somebody's got jumper cables, I can warm the glow plugs up with the jumper cables for 5 seconds and then tap the starter and it'll run. It's fully mechanical in terms of running and driving. So
that makes it even more waterproof. So yeah, as long as you don't drown the intake.
Yeah.
As long as you've got a snorkel on that turbo.
I'm liking it, Jim. I don't know. I know Tim Rye.
The wheels turn.
Tim Rye, if he's listening, I know he's listening. He's going to be cursing us right now.
Yeah. The only thing he'll dig about it is that it's different. He's cool with that, too.
I know.
But I can see a turbo in that CJ out there.
I know.
Or a bank supercharger.
Yeah, either one.
I made it do a diesel in the ZJ.
There you go.
And an LS on the CJ. That way we have something that goes really fast. I can get really hurt.
Really hurt. Would you rather go super fast in something short and high up, or in a full body ZJ?
Which is still just aluminum. I mean, we got to put a cage in that thing if we get stupid in that thing.
Well, you put the cage in it after you crush the roof, because then we just cut the roof off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's convertible.
It's no longer a Michigan rig at that point.
I would put my, my mom's really good with the sewing machine. She makes like a top or something.
So I guess
JK four door top and
I think it should work. Yeah.
While we're talking about Oliver, what else you got going on? I know it's 30 front, 44 rear. I mean, you got a long arm in it.
Yep, fully custom long arm, radius arm front, and then a triangulated four link in the rear.
Okay.
Right now it's open just because I daily drive it, but I've got a mini spool that goes in and out of the back when I go wheeling. That's about it in terms of drivetrain. I mean, it's a disc 44 rear. I did the conversion for that. And it's got a 231 transfer case right now, but I'm building up a 300 and a Northwest Fab doubler, so I'll have dual low ranges and 7-to-1 final low range, because I don't really want to touch the clutch when I'm crawling. So
Who wants to do that?
That's right.
That's peasant stuff.
Exactly. Want to be able to go 4 miles an hour in fourth gear. So.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, it's a good looking little rig. I appreciate your commitment to the spool, to in and out it, because I've got a mini spool in TJ, and I thought about that, and I'm like,
And
I'll just burn up tires.
Yeah, it's not bad. I've got it down to a science now.
Let me think about this.
I'm burning up your tires still, actually.
Yeah, a year ago on Drummond, I actually made up a plate for it, but first day of the actual event, so we'd been pre-running all week, and I had done Halfrich Hill a couple of times, and then decided to try to do Halfrich Hill in front of all the participants and be cool, and got up the rock and started to climb it, and then wheels were still spinning. I came down and heard some nasty pops and grinding, and I was like, oh, sounds like an axle shaft. So I limp it off the trail, limp it to the one of two shops on the island, and the one more off-road shop that just popped up a couple of years ago.
The one down by, was it Ziggy's gas station or down by that way?
Yeah, down.
It says Jeep Parts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The one with like the green and purple CJ out front or something, And I was like, hey, you got some spare 44s laying around and some shafts or something? And so I pulled diff cover and axle shafts out in his parking lot there, and I went pulling the axle shaft out, and I'm like, well, that's still in one piece. Go to the other side, pull the axle shaft out. I'm like, that's still in one piece. Shit. Because I'm thinking ring and pinion at this point, and that's a kind of weekend ender. And so I pop the cover, and I see metal shavings all up in there. And another.
Yeah, it's got that glitter. I've seen it.
Yeah, had some nice chunks.
Oh, yeah.
And inspected the ring and pinion, and I was like, well, that's good. and the spider gears were absolutely destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
I had taken about half the teeth off of two of them, and yeah. So I went to the guy and was like, hey, you got any spider gears laying around or anything? He's like, no, but I think I got a mini spool somewhere. I was like, well, I like that better than welding up the diff, so yeah. Throw that in.
Right.
Came back, and I was daily driving it for about 2 or 3 months with a mini spool because I was too lazy to put spider gears mm-hmm. back in it. And but no, now I've got it down to a science in terms of taking it in and out. So
that gives you an excuse to change your diff fluid after you wheel it, too.
Right,
I mean,
right, yep.
For maintenance.
Yeah,
yeah. Maintenance. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Huh.
Throw a mini spool in it when you get tired of hearing the chirping. You're right. Like, well, I guess I better change my oil.
Right.
I never really get tired of hearing the chirping, though. I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, everyone fun. Just kind of looks.
Who is this idiot? Is hi.
Oh, I'm pulling around in the gas station. The old lady's going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You park in a parking lot in a grocery store and like, your tires are broken. No, that's just how they sit now because of the spool. Sorry. Yeah, exactly. Oh, all cattywampus.
Oh, man. It makes for a good time. It's an attention getter.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, I guess we've got him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Jeep Jamboree trail guide.
Yeah, I was going to ask. That was my next question.
I'm not sure how many of our listeners have been to a Jamboree. You want to explain a little bit about what's going on? I mean, I think we touched some of it, but you know more than we do about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for if you're new to wheeling and you just want to get out and do it in a very controlled and you've got all of the resources there. You've got people who've been doing it for 20 plus years. So if you ever have any questions, you can ask somebody. And it's just, it's a very beginner-friendly way to do it, but at the same time, we've had people that have been to 30, 40 jamborees all over the country, and they're still coming back, so must be doing something right.
But, right.
Yeah, it's a great time. It's a very family-friendly event. Yeah, ours is a little unique being an island, but
I think that's part of what brought people from Virginia and New Jersey. I mean, where else you go to a jambo? You cross a giant bridge, you get to the mainland, you drive an hour and a half, and you have to get on a ferry to get to start the adventure.
Yep. Yeah, it's an adventure before the adventure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're crashing through ice
yeah.
to get there.
Yeah, we had that definite Titanic moment. I'm like, this thing's going down, bro.
I know. He had the window open. He had his seatbelt off. He was ready to swim.
There's a video somewhere of them breaking ice first time in the season, and they're just going up onto the ice and then falling through, and then up onto the ice and falling through. And it's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, as long as you're not on it.
Right.
I watch from the shore all day.
Yeah, they tend to load it up with a couple of heavy equipment things and
right.
go and break the ice first time in the season.
Yeah, so. I imagine they're pretty.
Do they stop running it at some point?
I don't think so.
So you said first time of the season. I'm trying to figure out what.
First, like, big freeze, basically. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes it'll go a little unused.
They kind of get, like, ice that washes down. Kind
of
flows through there.
Ice flows jam up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, the family atmosphere was definitely noticed. Like, me and Jay went up as just the two of us, and our buddy Sean came with us. But everywhere you look, there's people with kids. I mean, like you've told us, I mean, there's generations of trail guides where it's mom and dad are together, and then brother and sister are both there wheeling, and then brother and sister are bringing their families. And
yep, I've been going to Jamboree since I was in a booster seat, and my dad is a trail guide on one of them, and he's been doing that for a dozen plus years, I think, now. And then a couple of years ago, I started trail guiding, and was just bouncing for a while, being at different obstacles and just being stationed there and helping with an extra pair of hands while the groups come through. And then last year I started tail gunning for my own group. So
very cool. Yeah. I think the cool thing, or like you saw, but that's probably a good thing for him, is just being stationary at the problem.
Because
Russell had to walk 47 miles.
Yeah.
Because he'd walk back to the problem.
Steps in.
His wife would move the Jeep up out of the way, and then he'd forget where the truck was and drive all the way back to the front or walk to the front. Ozzy's walking back and forth from the back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the good thing with Ozzy, at least his wife would bring the Jeep to him, typically.
Yeah.
But Russell had to walk back to the front. I mean, being stationary, especially if you know there's going to be a problem like on a particular hill or a particular hole.
Yep. So in the summer, we station at Marblehead just to kind of have an extra pair of hands to help with traffic and spotting and stuff like that. And then there's a couple of big hills in Turtle Ridge, like the Citadel, where we'll station a guy and just kind of have an extra pair of hands there. So
yeah, summers run a little differently, right?
Yep.
I mean, winter was kind of like all the groups went on the same trails. And
yeah,
just kind
so
of alternated.
The big difference in summer and winter is the winter jamboree, we tend to set the groups up so that we've got big guys at the front and then just gradually gets to the small, stock Liberty at the back. And that helps with, one, breaking trail, and two, keeping it kind of interesting. So you know, a guy with 40s breaks the trail and you know, fresh snow, and he's got a great time. And then the guy with 37s behind him still has to, you know, try a little bit to break through what he didn't break through, and then so on and so on. So,
so apparently we messed up because we were in the wrong. We were like fourth in the end on 37s.
Yeah, so it's not a science, but yeah, that's kind of our general thinking. And then in the summer, it's oriented because there's no snow. We do stock group, expert group, modified group, and you know, we've got one or two big boy groups with 37s and 40s and all that. So,
so do they change the rules for Drummond only? Because I read the rules, and it says 37 in the max.
So I think it's a Jamboree-wide thing that because it's so common to see JKs on 40s now and such that you have to get special permission, so you have to just, you know, send an email in or whatever, and you send them pictures and specs of your Jeep, and if you have 40s, I think 40s are the maximum now, but okay, if you have 40s, you can get accepted into a Jamboree. You just have to go through a little bit more work than if you had 37s.
So I remember, I mean, when we started, we only 33s were big,
right,
and then 35s were big, exactly, and then 37s are common. Yeah,
so, yeah.
Especially on JKs, because you can fit 37 easily.
Right, I just mean, 37 on a 2-inch lift.
I think so. I just saw an advertisement for Super Swamper for 50s.
Yeah?
So, yeah, coming soon.
Mickey Thompson 54s. And
yeah, 58s.
Can't think 60, of any good rhyme for those, though.
72s.
You can't lose on 42s.
You can't lose on 72s. Well, you can lose something.
You can like lose parts. Everything. Parts in the pan. Because I remember that was like a big thing. I read they got an email from Paige, I think, out west, whoever the Jamboree lady is, and she's like, congrats, you can have 40s this year. It's a big deal. I'm like,
yeah, yep, it's just a...
And you didn't go out and get them? For shame.
They're yours, huh?
Yeah, we could have, I guess. Would have been interesting.
And wake up one morning, and ZJ's going to be on cinder blocks.
Well, he's got 40s sitting here somewhere. They're not even mounted
anymore. Oh, they're in the other garage.
Oh, the other garage? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He cleaned the garage for you.
Yeah, I haven't made space for your guest.
I can tell.
You're right, yeah. I had to push stuff, you know, pile stuff back on the bridge port. It's a nice horizontal surface. Anyway, I regress.
So, yeah, I mean, I dug the atmosphere for, like, we talked about in the car a lot. For us, it's a little bit different than when he and I go out with a couple of our buddies. We all know what
right
to expect.
Right.
So there was a little bit of that, like, why are we stopped? You know, for us, you know, I mean, we live 20 years. Like, why are we stopped? And why are we not moving? Right. But then Russell did a really good job, Russell and Ozzy. And I think it's Beth and Mary.
Yep, those are their wives. Yeah.
I keep forgetting. I've got to give them shout-outs because they were awesome.
Beth and Russell and Mary and Ozzy, yep.
They were awesome, too. But they would kept the group moving, or they would come out and explain what was going on. Hey, there's a stalker or somebody on open having a problem with the ice up here.
Right.
So we'd try to get out and go check it out. And they made it interesting, and they made it cool. And Mary came by and harassed us, and you know, because she was a tail gunner. Yep. So she'd come up and talk. And I get through that.
Well, it's like every time we roll the window down, we're like, we're sorry. What do we do?
Yeah, well, she
come up and talk to us for some reason.
Like a headmistress from school.
License registration.
Yeah. She came up like a headmistress from school and put her arms in my window. And I was like, what did we do? Like, I'm thinking I did something wrong. There's rules. Right? There's like etiquette and stuff. And I'm like, I'm blasting Pantera. I'm like, yes, ma'am. How can I help you? And she's like, who was hitting the noise on our channel? I'm like, I don't know.
Looks in, sees the Midland radio. I'm like, listen, you guys.
Push the call button. And she's like, who is that? Sorry, Mary. I apologize.
It was us. The whole time.
Yeah, but it was cool. I mean, because Ozzy, who I continue to call Ots Lee from that Alaska show. You can see it, right?
Yep.
Him and his little LJ was awesome to watch. I mean,
yep,
nothing really special. It's yep, just a well-built LJ.
Princess Wide Load.
That's what he calls it?
Yep. I think this one just got nicknamed.
Okay.
Oh, he nice. For a while ran like 13 and a halfs and wheel spacers. And
oh, I like if we get all the inside info.
But hey, you get up out of the ruts. I mean, there might be a reason for it.
Yeah, he's a great driver. Oh, he great rig.
Basically blazed that trail for that hill climb we did on that last day.
Yeah.
So
that's the one when I was super bummed. I wanted to see Sean go up there and eat with that supercharger.
I know.
Let them 37 see if we can get the bottom or not.
He did, but it didn't.
I did see a video of him bouncing up a hill with Mary in the passenger seat and the supercharger just going at it.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So. Yeah, all around it was a great time. I mean, yeah.
And like again, said, we were well entertained the whole time. There wasn't...
And different backgrounds. Like, and I kind of feel bad because like Vader, JK, Vader, he's got a black JK. He was second or third line.
Yeah.
I never even talked to the guy because we were fourth from the back. He was right, second from the front. So by the time that we would get to the obstacle, he'd be getting back in to leave. Yeah. So, I mean, I got to talk to the people around us. Like Eric and those guys from Garden City were awesome people to talk to. Mm-hmm. And just experience, like, he's new to wheeling. He was out there in a JK on 33s. So for him, watching Sean and I locked in 37s, it was like a learning experience.
Following you.
Yeah.
Sean has his own special style, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called right foot. But then he got to see how, like, the bigger, more experienced guys would do something and try lines or see what didn't work for us or see where we hung up.
Yeah, that's another big thing about the Jamboree is you've got trail guides who have been doing it for years. And so, for example, at Marblehead in the summer, we kind of know where to put people that maybe it's a little bit out of their comfort zone, but we know they can do it. And so it's kind of cool to push their limits a little bit. Just plenty of lines on Marblehead, and you can kind of get some that are, you know, a little bit tippy, or you flex out nicely, and so you get cool pictures for them, and you just push their limits a little bit. So it's nice to do that where you've got the support to do so.
Well, that's awesome. It just builds it up, and it really gets them more involved. And
right.
I think that's a lot better than just trying to, say, meet up with the internet group or whatever, and then you have a miserable experience because no one talks to you and no one guides you. And so I think that is an ideal situation for someone just getting into four-wheeling. Especially if you're getting into it with your family.
Right. And I'm thinking something like what they do, like KL, when we were at Moab on the Pickle Trail, we did a 7-8 rated trail in Moab. I'm nervous as heck, dude. I'm a Michigan guy. Everything out here is flat. You don't get killed out here.
We assumed we were going
to
get dead.
Yeah. But KL will be like, hey, put your left tire 3 inches to the right of that purple line. I got you. And I put my line, climb up something. You guys, being up there every summer and winter, know the terrain, know the hills, are able to say, hey, brand new wheeler, I got you. I've been doing this for, you know, since I've been born, right? Basically, right?
Yeah, pretty much for me, yeah.
You know, I've been a passenger for 16 years. Now I'm driving myself.
Right.
And it's got to be a lot of confidence for somebody who's, especially just still paying. Like, I just bought a Rubicon from the Jeep dealership, and I came to this.
You don't want to break it, but you want to do all the cool things.
Right. You want to see, you know, you watch the commercial. I want to do what they did in the commercial.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a start. And, I mean, it's a community up there. Yeah. They've got the swag for sale, which is, especially for newer Jeepers, is like a thing, like a badge of honor. I know some senior Jeepers wear the stuff.
Yeah.
They Jeep promote
every year at Jamboree. So,
really?
Yeah.
You get the whole collection?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like,
I've got my nice Willys hat at home that only gets
for nice things. My church hat.
My AV hat has probably seen years of dirt, and my old Jamboree hat literally has so much grease in it you can take a fingernail and peel it.
It's good for survival situations. You're starting a fire. But
scrape some off.
They really promote tread lightly, which is awesome and important.
Yeah.
But something we talk about a lot in the show that to us is super important because we have limited trails. We have limited resources.
You want to keep them.
I want to keep them. I want to be able to take my kids or Jason's grandkids or whatever to Marblehead and show them. We used to do this on 33s. You guys are on 58s, but, you know.
factory Jeep electric Rubicon 58s.
Right. You know, back in the day, it was a lot tougher, you know, but still be able to take somebody out there and experience it, or even a new wheeler, you know, if a buddy like Eric's been talking about building a rig for years.
Yeah.
If he gets around to building his rig, we can take him up there. Unless somebody tears everything up and throws litter everywhere, then I can't ever go back.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that goes for the whole state.
That's a big thing. I know a lot of people complain about Marblehead, how you can't, you know, drive out to the Overlook, but it's that thing. It's the tread lightly. It's the conservation.
I don't think they understand that if we were allowed to drive out to the Overlook, someone would drive off.
Someone would drive off, and there would be big chunks falling regularly, I'm sure.
Yes, it would just
not as stable as it looks.
Yeah, it's already sketchy, but someone would get not alive.
Not alive.
Someone would wake up dead.
That's a scientific thing.
Yeah, it's super scientific. So, I think that pretty much covers.
You got a fair part about it? A fair part about the event? That, I mean, because you've been doing it for so long now. What do you look forward to when you go up there? Because you keep going back. Right? You're going back in June.
Yep.
Why?
I think just the atmosphere in general.
Okay.
There's just bits and pieces of the wheeling up there that are kind of addicting.
Mm-hmm.
I know, for example, my favorite is Lower Turtle Ridge.
Loved it.
There's just some gnarly stuff in there, and it's
it goes from...
It never gets old.
No. It gets very gnarly.
Yeah,
very
I don't know quick. If you guys have been up in the summer much, but there's like Pucker Ridge where it's basically a 10-foot wall that you fall down in your Jeep, and there's the Citadel, and there's just a lot of gnarly stuff. And at the same time, there's just ruts and tight and twisty and technical, and it's just, it's kind of a best of all worlds. So the wheeling out there is addicting. The atmosphere is great. All the people are awesome. It's just, you can't not come back. So,
I mean, for me, like, having done events in the state, it's a little costly compared to Snowfari or DOA or something to that effect. But
I feel like it gets you initially. You have initial sticker shock, but once you do it, you're like, oh, okay, this all makes sense.
Because there's things
that the meals, the guided trails. The hot meals, when you get through it all, you realize that
there's just it's different.
Hot meal was back at the we had to go back to the hotel for that.
Okay, yeah. In the summer, we do a hot meal at the off road park midday. Okay. So lunch is at the off road park, and the Lions Club from up on Drummond Island will come out and cook pulled pork and brats and hot dogs and everything. And then we get the bag lunches from Waz's, which
is awesome sandwiches,
7 inches thick, full of meat.
You guys
have it easy. Those were scaled back.
Really?
A couple of, like 4 or 5 years ago, yeah, we had that size, like 3 or 4 inches thick of meat and no exaggeration. So
it's a very good sandwich though.
Yeah. Oh, it was delicious. So, yeah, it was perfect for the trail.
So we get comment cards at the end of the year, and we had complaints about too much meat.
So yeah, like I was saying, I mean it's sticker shock. It's costly at first, but when you consider like if you go to DOA, which is another great event up there.
Yeah. There's a lot of events.
You're bringing
up there
your own food.
Similar,
you're doing all your own meals, and this included the meal, what? Friday breakfast, Friday lunch, Friday dinner, Saturday breakfast, Saturday lunch, Saturday dinner.
Yep.
Yes. So 6 meals.
Yeah.
Plus excellent trail guides, not taken away from anybody else's trail guides, but repeat trail guides that know what they're doing, know the areas.
And I very well identified because you guys wear like red shirts.
Red everything.
We try to be as official as possible, and there's a lot of, not necessarily formal training, but there's a lot of, these are your rules, and these are your duties, and it's very well organized, I guess.
Well organized, you're like basically indoctrinated into it. I mean, with your sister up there.
Right. You pretty much have to be invited to be a trail.
That's where I wanted to get into a little bit more into David and your whole family of wheeling.
Yeah. So I a little bit of nepotism, I guess, but my dad has been doing it for years. I don't know the exact number, but it's a crazy amount of years.
How many Jeeps does your dad have? Roughly,
well,
memory.
Running or not?
Ooh, I will go not because I can. Yeah,
you can relate.
So, I might be able to.
He's got a 2004 Rubicon TJ on tons and 40s, which is his,
daily.
Go anywhere.
That's
he's got
awesome.
a Comanche project, which is going to get his old Rubicon axles and 35s.
It's a solid plan.
It is. Comanches are awesome.
Rubicon transfer case and all the goodies that got taken out when he did Atlas and all that.
That's a genius idea. It's like, I'm just going to build up this one.
Right.
Oh, I like it.
We've got a 2001 Cherokee Limited, which was like their end-all, be-all, like last hurrah. So it's got the leather and the wood and the heated seats and everything. All of the interior of that and all the facelift is getting swapped onto the Comanche. So it's going to be the most updated Comanche you can have, kind of.
What was the last year of the Comanche?
It's a test. I don't know. Google
80s,
it.
I think.
80s, because they had the interior in the last Comanche wasn't that great. So, upgrading it to the latest and greatest.
That'd be awesome.
It wasn't a test, Jim. You didn't fail.
Those are our two projects, and then his Ruby. I've got Oliver. I had another TJ that I did a truck bed conversion on, so I brought the back of the cab up to behind the seats and did a frame stretch 16 inches, did a four link and three link front and all that, but just life happened, had to get ready to do some customers Jeeps and all that. So eventually it's Oliver is my end all be all Jeep, and it's not going anywhere. Yeah. So,
and you daily it.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's going to get, the Ultra 4 treatment eventually, but right now it's pretty standard. It's my daily driver. So
nice.
I like the sounds of that. Yeah, we were kind of talking a little bit about that, long-term plans of the tons and the links and the frame swap.
Long-term plans are just to pull the frame and the suspension that's already built, and somebody will take that pretty quick. So tube chassis and Spider Tracks 9 inches is the plan.
I like that plan. That's a bold plan. Most guys are like, oh, I'm super duty swat. He's like, I Spider Track 9. No sense playing around.
The issue is just keeping it from being upgraded too soon, because that's going to take my money away. So,
right.
Got to have that willpower and have the poster of the Spider Tracks 9 inches hanging in my room or something.
In your room, and at your office, at your desk, or wherever. Yeah.
Don't buy parts.
Does your mom have her own rig too?
The idea is that the Comanche will be hers, but originally we were going to do the 4.0 and the AW4 and all that for the Comanche, but the original engine, the first diesel that was in my Jeep. My dad has plans to rebuild that, and so that may get put in the Comanche.
Okay.
So he's probably going to use the NV3550, the 5-speed mm-hmm. that was in his Rubicon originally, and so it may not be quite as much as of my mom's rig as he'd like, but my dad's is now AW4 swapped, so she might drive the big rig if she feels like it. So
very nice. Cool. It's cool to have a family that wheels together.
I know.
Yeah,
my that is awesome. Got
hers too. So
which we saw her yeah. wheel the hell out of that yeah. thing and yeah, make
she's,
some.
She's not afraid to bounce it off things.
No,
not at all. No, yeah. no.
I don't
she's
necessarily
not...
subscribe to her. You don't need lockers opinion, but
yeah, she was
kind of
playing the you don't need lockers card.
She's
pretty
doing
hard.
The same thing I did, and she's. Playing the I don't need lockers game until you're like, lockers are really nice.
Yeah, we saw a couple times where she could use lockers.
I had that attitude right up until I accidentally put a mini spool in mine. I was like, this is pretty nice.
this all actual four-wheel drive is
right,
really
right,
nice.
Not two-wheel drive.
So yeah. when Ozzy was breaking trail on that hill, her and I had that conversation. You don't need lockers. I'm like, you don't need them.
But they're really
but
nice.
They're awesome. you can turn them off and cheat or, you know, go back to the old ways. But yeah. if you get stuck, you can turn them on and drive out. They're amazing.
Right. Yes.
You know, that was our conversation on top of some hill.
Yeah. Watching shenanigans go down and yeah. breaking trail and hill climb and skinny pedal.
For me, like I said, it was a great event. It was a great experience because of the fact that there's so much people that actually care. Like you couldn't throw a rock and I hit a red vest.
Right.
If you had a question, a concern, you know, it was all, especially if you're a newer wheeler and you're confused about anything, you know.
Well, it's a newer wheeler watching, you know, our ish Jeeps on 37s with locked and then his sister's XJ. On what are they 33s?
They're 32s.
They're
Rubicon
32s.
Rubicon
they're like takeoffs.
Yep.
Yeah. Open diff and kind of putting on an open diff clinic.
Right.
I mean, she was doing good.
Yep.
To lower to a ridge, only place it got her.
Yeah. A couple spots, but that got a lot of
people.
Yeah,
but she's not afraid to pull out the strap or the winch. So,
which is smart. We talked about that too. We talked about that before. Don't mm-hmm. be a D-bag. If you need to get strapped,
right.
get
right.
strapped or get winched out or.
Yeah. It's a lot easier than.
And I mean, me and her were breaking stuff.
We're brought up on that principle, basically. Is just, I mean, we were brought up by a trail guide, so I mean, yeah,
give
it
a shot or
you're
two.
You're kind of you brought up on a standard three tries and all right,
yeah,
full line.
Yep.
Especially if you're running. I mean, they said they run bigger groups in the summer. We were blessed with like 12 rigs in our group, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some that I think we've had a group of 18 in a stock group 1 year, and it's not bad because if it gets that big, we usually run a rocking chair in the middle.
Right.
So we'll have three trail guides to a group. So we try to keep it to 10 Jeeps to two trail guides or something like that. So even if it gets, you know, big, we still have a way to keep everybody.
But if you let Johnny or Sally, brand new Rubicon owner, try 100 times, the guys in the back of the group would be miserable.
Right. And that's another thing is time management.
Yeah.
So we definitely, I mean, we like to have people try things and we like to push limits, but we also know, you know, we got to get a whole group of Jeeps through
and then,
how many
and
miles
then
of trails in a day.
Their new Jeep is not a good experience
right.
for them.
Yep.
All right, let me show you how to change a U-joint on the trail. Right, not usually the good entry into off-roading.
One of the trail guys told some story about the dad and daughter team that were up there, and she's like, he needs a bypass, he can't make it. And the trail guy was able to coach him up, and he was so elated that he made it.
Yeah.
Didn't think he'd ever make it, you know, it was too impossible. But
yeah, I mean, I've seen that face on people before. You know where they
right.
do
the
something
surprise,
they've never done, and there's like, oh
the
my
elation.
God, this is amazing. You know they're telling everybody about it. And it just builds in the whole family of off-roading.
Well, then it builds because they're going to go home and they're going to infect somebody else with it.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Someone else with this poor disease.
Poor life choices.
Poor life choices.
It's a very, very expensive hobby.
Yeah. I mean, there's more expensive ones,
yeah.
but... They're probably illegal.
Yeah,
pretty much illegal, yeah.
Yeah, it's the most expensive legal
sure
hobby.
Doing drugs is cheaper, but...
That's something we can debate later. Oh, anything else you wanted to cover?
I think we covered a lot of it. I mean, there's anything you wanted to add as far as the fab? Are you doing fab business for friends, or is it just like right now you're starting up?
Yeah, I'm kind of a one-man shop out of me and my dad's pole barn right now, and so it's, you know, one rig at a time. But I've been trying to find some shop space and all that, but
okay.
Taking on projects here and there and try to get it bigger eventually. But
any specialties? Like, are you like doing axle swaps or sliders or whatever I call and say, hey, I need this done?
Right, so I think my specialties are kind of suspension and roll cages. I've done a couple of JKs, a couple of TJs in terms of roll cages. I've got an LJ right now that's a friend's that's getting a four-link rear, so a triangulated four-link on his Dana 44, and a radius arm front, and pretty much all barn stuff, but it's going really well, and it's going to make that rig pretty sweet. So,
sweet.
Yeah, roll cage is kind of an art.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen some not done well, and I've seen some done well. It's definitely an art.
Schedule 40 pipe and stick welder.
Yeah. Well, the one on the CD out there. Yeah. A little bit of improvement.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, when you don't mix, you know, you can always caulk it or something.
To make it look like it will.
Right. Yeah. It's all perception.
Nice and easy caulk lines and use a Q-tip to make it look good.
I know. That one needs to be redone. David, you're coming back over. We're back in the sweet roll cage. I got the bender. I got all the stuff.
What else do you think you want to cover? I mean, we covered his amazing build. We covered his whole lineage of wheeling. We covered how great Jamboree was to us. And even though we were like the bad kids, they were really cool to us, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we sold it. I don't know. What else?
I mean, I think if you've got any questions, reach out. That was my first event as a participant. I've been involved with Snowfari for years. I helped with that for like 13 years. So I've dealt with the DNR licensing and all that kind of, you know, getting insurance and all that mess. Yeah, so I've been through it.
It's another thing you pay for on the Jamboree, all the insurance and the waivers and all that.
And the road bonds and what have you. The people don't understand, like, there's a road bond. If I mess up a snowmobile trail, they got to go groom it. That comes out of the road bond.
Right.
So I know there's a lot of stress involved, especially when you're going to get an undetermined amount of experience in the wheelers. Like I said, Jason and Sean and I came with a bunch of experience. Your family has a bunch of experience. And there's people that are first wheeling trip. One guy had his license for like 9 months.
Right, right.
So the cool thing was how well the people brought everybody together. The event staff did a really good job, you know, talking to Mike O from the Great Lakes Road Driver Association, which I'm still involved with. It's his passion is kind of twofold, where it's like conservation on the Great Lakes side and then bringing new people to the Jeep world on the Jambo side.
Yep.
It's cool to see, and he's so excited and happy and running around like a butterfly. I mean, he's just so thrilled, you know, and his daughter's even involved. So you talk about the family lineage involved. I mean, his kid's up there. I don't know if she was trail guiding or helping or what she was doing when she was up there.
The Olmsted family is pretty much all trail guides. Right. So,
I mean, it was great. It was a great event, and especially as a participant with experience, at least I was calm enough to relate to understand why stuff was happening the way it was because of my experience, my history. But for a non-experienced person and for a person with experience, it's a great time.
Yeah.
You get to meet great people. We can talk to guys, you know, obviously about the podcast, which is a big deal to us. Mm-hmm. Got the word out about that.
It was
a little new
to us. It's like one of the first events we've been to and people come up and are like, hey, you guys are the podcast
guys.
Which
is super weird for me, for the record.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
Oh, I love your show. I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you.
Sean has one of those hoodies Jason's wearing now at the Off-Road Garage Podcast camouflage hoodie. And they come up and he's like, oh, you're the Off-Road Garage Podcast. He steps away like, nope, it's those two. And he just walked away, went to the bar.
Which is another thing we're working on. The website's going to be out soon, and we'll be able to sell some swag and some stickers. And it's coming along. I got a call from the guy today.
The guy.
It's going to happen. The dude. So look forward to that. As always, if you're listening, Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. Comment, whatever,
like, subscribe,
5-star, 4-star, 3-star. Remember, if it's a 2-star, you better tell us why.
Yeah.
Email. We've got an email the other day. I believe his name is Max. I'd have to look. I don't want to butcher it. But we had some fun via email. So feel free to hit us up, message us if you want.
Issue.
Yeah, it was a blinker fluid issue. Tried really to troll us. Tried to troll me a little bit, but I'm on to you. So
that was awesome. Yeah.
So anything else? Closing comments?
No.
Board?
Look forward to next
David,
episode.
Thank you for being on the show, my friend.
No problem. I'm going to look at a corn burner.
Yeah, I know. We're going to go back out and check out some diesel action. All right. Thank you. We're out.